epilepsy. You may be seated. The blessing of recognizing spiritual bankruptcy, spiritual NCFs. Some of us know what those NCFs, non-sufficient funds. Maybe that's NSF or something. It's a blessing. I always rejoice when I look around and see some of our college students who are away in college, UT and TSU, MTSU, and they back home on spring break, and they come to the house of the Lord. So I'm going to, amen, let's get a hand clap of praise for that. I'm going to ask our college students to stand up just briefly, our college students. Just stand up for a moment. Now look around, church. Just stand on up, just Kiki. Now look, we need to be praying for our college students as they go off on these crazy campuses sometimes. So be praying for them. And I do pray that this is not the first time you've been in church this semester. Now I know this is not the first time. All right, y'all may be seated. The blessing of recognizing spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Usually when people think of being poor, you know, we think of it in a negative light, Brother Gerald. Usually when we think of it, we think of things like a person poor financially, a poor singing performance. They played a poor basketball game. It's March Madness. They played a poor basketball game. He or she has poor health. On and on and on. By God's grace, Sister Flippin and Sister Tracy kind of had poor health, but God is healing their bodies. Amen. That is a good place to say amen and clap. So usually when we think about poor, P-O-O-R, we think of it in a negative light. But this morning, as I talk about the poor in spirit, it means a positive thing. It's a good thing to be regarded as poor in spirit, to recognize your bankruptcy toward the righteousness of God. The poor in spirit, these are the ones who have recognized their need for Jesus. When you recognize and when I recognize that we were spiritually bankrupt without, and we are spiritually bankrupt without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Because then and only then do you see your way, on your way to the kingdom of heaven. Also, after salvation, the only way you're going to progress in this Christian journey is still to remember that you are poor in spirit. You got to recognize Jesus in everything. In John chapter 15, Jesus said that he is divine. He said that we are the branches, and if we just remain in him, we will bear much fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing, Mother Lawton. We can't do anything apart from Jesus. But if we remain in him, he says that we will bear, Sister Roxy, much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to bear some fruit. I don't want to be a fruitless Christian. Matter of fact, really, that's a misnomer. It's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. Because if you're in Christ and he's in you, you will bear, Sister Gwen, you will bear much fruit. And so we need Christ. We need him for not only salvation, but we also need him for sanctification. We need him to get born again, but we also need him as we grow in Christ. I'm going to talk about that sanctification a little later, initially and progressive sanctification. We see in verse 1 of the text in Matthew chapter 5, it says Jesus, he was shouting multitudes. Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Jesus came teaching, preaching, and healing. He came teaching, preaching, and healing. Not enough preaching today. Now let me change that. Not enough Bible-centered, Christ-centered, godly preaching today. It's too much man-centered preaching today. Too much me, myself, and I. Too much prosperity-centered preaching today. Now I heard Brother Hardaway, Brother Jeffrey say earlier, and see, there's nothing wrong with prospering. Joshua 1:8 and many other places tell us it's okay for the Christian to prosper, but the prosperity type of preaching we hear about today is straight from the pits of hell. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, draw me the best prosperity. Here it is. The best prosperity is a closer walk with Jesus. You can have this other stuff. You know, this stuff, rust and moths come in and get it. Thieves break in and break in your house. And you can have that stuff. Just give me a closer walk with Jesus. Just give me a closer walk with our Lord and Savior. Just fill me more with his Holy Spirit. That's what I want. If you're full of Jesus, you can go get that other stuff. But if you don't have Jesus, You can have the other stuff and still miss the place that you want to go. Let me say it again. You can have all that other stuff, but if you don't have Jesus, you'll still end up going to the wrong direction. You end up in hell rather than heaven. Jesus was seated. That was a normal teaching posture for rabbis. Rabbis typically stood during the reading of the scriptures in reverence of the word of God. But then they would sit down. We can try that this morning. Let's see. Let me sit down and y'all stand up. They're like, no, Pastor, you tripping. You tripping now. You tripping. But that's the way they did in the Old Testament, Sister Hardaway. Sister Jean, they did. The rabbi would sit down and everybody read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. I got some Bible readers in the house, right? Read Ezra and Nehemiah. They would sit down and everybody else would stand up. So Jesus sat down and began to teach. And then look at what he's beginning to teach us, and he's going to teach us for the next few weeks. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now this word blessed here in this verse means happy, but listen, it's not the type of happy that we are used to. It's a type of happy that means a deep and an abiding type of happiness. It's a happy that doesn't depend on happenings. It's a happy that does not depend on happenings. It's more than a temporary or circumstantial feeling of happiness. It's not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. It's much more than that. It's much more than that surface level type of thing. Listen, you might want to write this down. This type of blessedness, this type of happiness is a state of well-being, a state of well-being in relationship to God that comes to those who have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me back up and repeat that. This blessedness, this happiness is a state of being in relationship to the God that comes or that belongs to those who have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's walking with Jesus daily. It's enjoying Jesus daily. Blessed is the man, Brother and Sister Johnson, who walks with Jesus. Blessed is the man who hangs out with Jesus. Blessed is him because the kingdom of heaven belongs to him. See, we can know where we're going here on earth before we leave earth. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus is in me. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm poor in spirit. Blessed. It's a blessing to experience the presence of God in your everyday life. Not just on Sunday. It's just the overflow. If you're walking with him on Monday, if you're walking with him on Tuesday, Sister Ford, if you're walking with him on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, Sister Candace, when you get here on Sunday, you can't help but to wait and praise him with brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially if you've been catching HELL from the workplace and from your neighbors all week long, and then you get here to the house of the Lord, and like you hadn't been through nothing this week, you ought to praise him today. You ought to praise him today. I don't know about you. Y'all heard me say this before. I'm riding down in my car sometime. Every now, I don't have to have no music on or nothing. And every now and then, I just holler out. Every now and then. The person over there on the next lane, they probably say, what, is he crazy? Yeah, crazy for Jesus. Yeah, crazy for Jesus. So this type of blessedness is what you will find in Psalms 1, which says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who stands not in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who sits not in the seat of scoffers. That's the blessed man, the man who walks along the right way rather than the wrong way. So poor in spirit, it points to, if you're taking notes, it points to the fact of that we are all messed up. Poor in spirit. It points to the fact that we come in a humble way to God. We come humbly saying, Lord, I'm messed up. I'm poor in spirit. My life is jacked up. Blessed are those who recognize that they, once again, have been writing spiritual hot checks. Blessed are those. Romans 3:10-12 lets us know. Listen to this. Listen to what the word of God says about you and me, our condition without Christ. It says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. No, not one. Not even one. It's like in the days, the Old Testament talks about every man did what was right in his own sight. Jeremiah 7 tells us that the human heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. Who can understand it? Genesis 6 talks about how every man did evil continually. And even said, well, we can understand it. Even said that God was sorrowful that he had made man. So much so he sent a flood. But look, our God is so good. Our God is so good, Satanya. He sent a flood, but even before the flood, he sent a preacher by the name of Noah to preach for 120 years. And Noah preached, hey, we messed up. We've sinned against God. God is angry. But God said, if you just come to this ark, if you just come on to this ark, you'll be saved. You'll be spared. But if not, you're going to be washed away. The ark is a type of Christ. Everybody who would have come to the ark would have been saved. But only Noah missed Noah. Their three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their three wives. Only those eight people got saved because people were hard-hearted and doing their own thing. But God, even in the midst of his anger, if you will, still had grace and mercy. He always has grace and mercy. I say he always has grace and mercy. He always, let me try this side over here. He always has grace and mercy. He always shows grace and mercy, sister, cousin, always. None of us would be here. Let me try this side. None of us would be here if it were not for his grace and his mercy. So we need Jesus for everything. Not just salvation, but also sanctification. You can't be like, I got saved. Okay, I got saved, God. I got my fire insurance. I'll catch up with you later. I'll catch you in the rapture, maybe. No. You got to abide in Jesus 24/7, 365. That means from when I get up in the morning, I can say, Lord, thank you that I got up. When I go in the restroom and wash my little face off, God, thank you that I can wash my face off. Nobody had to come and wash my face off for me. When I go and put my little shirt on, God, thank you that I was able to put my shirt on by myself. When I go down the steps in the morning, God, I thank you that I was able to go down the steps by myself. When I get down and open up my Bible, God, thank you that I can read my Bible. I don't have to be ducking bullets and doing all that stuff. I thank you I can go out and tell somebody about Jesus and don't have to worry about getting killed. Oh, that's a lot of things to be thankful for. It's a lot of ways to walk with Jesus and be thankful for things that we take for granted. I tell you what, you know, Christianity, I don't know what the numbers are here in the U.S., but if God pulled back his protection, we think the Christian church is going down in numbers now. If God pulled back his arm of protection when they start coming in here and maybe spraying us with guns and stuff, we really run out of this place. We just even praying every day for what's going on in this world. People have come into churches and shot. People do go into schools and shoot. People go into malls and shoot. We need to be praying. If not by the grace of God, things would be a lot worse. So thank you, dear God, that you have come and have saved us. So really, if you're born again, if you're saved, if you realize you're poor in spirit and need Christ for salvation, I pray that you have recognized that if not today, not tomorrow, but today, today is the day of salvation. But once you come to the Lord, you got to realize you need him every day. I mean, watch this. The moment you get saved, the moment you get born again, the Bible says we are sanctified. We are set apart. We call that initial sanctification. But then also in this Christian life, we got to walk every day. We call that progressive sanctification. So it's really as a Christian, it's like, it's not like we double minded, but it's like, Brother Tommy, we're in two places at the same time. Right now, in Christ, I'm seated in the heavenly places. Right now, I'm in heaven right now, positionally. But I'm living on earth, so I need the Lord to help me here on earth. Two places at the same time. Let me help you out. I think I've given this illustration before. If you work for any company and you need to talk to people in Atlanta or Chicago or Nashville or wherever, you can go into your conference room here in Chattanooga, but hook up with people all around the U.S., all around the world. So in essence, you're here in Chattanooga, but you're in a meeting over there in Nashville or over there in Atlanta. Kind of like yesterday when Brother Rodney, he was up in Nashville, he and his family and Mackenzie playing volleyball, and they were up there, but Rodney leads the prayer line 12 o'clock on Saturday. And so we all down here in Chattanooga and he's up there in Nashville, but we call in a little conference call and he's in Nashville, but he's really in Chattanooga all at the same time. So the Christian, we're in heaven, but we're also on planet Earth all at the same time. So I need Jesus for salvation, my daily living. I also need him for sanctification. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you will be. It's kind of like that hymn, the hymn of the church. We may have to sing it in the next month or two. I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Prophet Jeremiah said it this way. He said, each morning we have new mercies. I might have blown it yesterday, but today, as I confess my sin, as I repent of my sin, having a brokenness over my sin, I can come to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, forgive me today. I blew it earlier today. I blew it yesterday, but give me a new chance. And guess what? Our God is so awesome. Our God is so awesome. He gives us chance after 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 chance. How many chances is that? After chance, after chance, after chance, after chance. He gives us, we say so many cliches that are so wrong. God gave me a second chance. If God just gave us a second chance, none of us would be here this morning. Can I get an amen? Anybody want to tell the truth this morning? Need more than just a second chance. Third, fourth, fifth, tenth, you run out of fingers. As we come to him, the true child of God, see, that doesn't give us a license to sin, though, just because we know God is a God of mercy, God is a God who saves, God is a God who forgives. 1 John 1:9 tells us that we just confess our sin, agree with God, confess our sin that we've messed up. He is faithful and just. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, that doesn't give us a license to sin, though. I get really concerned. Almost worrying a little bit when people who say they're Christians say, well, yeah, I can go do this. You know, God going to forgive me. Not a true child of God. Really, when you know God is a forgiving God, that makes you run toward him. That makes you want to be more holy. That makes you want to live more in a way that's pleasing to him, because he's forgiven you and me for so much. I want to live for him now. Now I live for the devil. I live for the flesh and the world for about the first 30 years of my life. So these next 25 years of my life, I've been trying to live for him. Do the math. That means I'm 55 years old. But the true child of God, you want to follow the Lord. It's kind of like this, kind of like that parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee, the religious man, if you will, and the publican, the tax gatherer, tax collector, who were known to be sinful. Because I'm talking about, you got to recognize you're spiritually bankrupt, that you need Jesus for salvation and you need him for sanctification. So Jesus tells this parable. He said there was a Pharisee. You know, he came down to the church house and he was self-righteous. He was like, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like the people over there. You know, they drink, they smoke, they do all that stuff. I'm not like that. They don't give any money in the offering plate, you know, but I tithe. I do all that. Matter of fact, I weigh my tithe as I put it in the offering plate. I tithe. I'm kind of like a rich young ruler. I do all that type of stuff. And then Jesus was just telling this parable. He's a master teacher. Then here comes the publican. Here comes the sinner. And the Bible says he stood afar off from God and smote his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Jesus said, he is the one. He is the one who went home justified. He's the one who declared, hey, my righteousness is but as filthy rags before God. I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care how righteous you think you are. If you're in the flesh, you're trying to make it on your own. Your righteousness is but as filthy rags before God. I never forget it. It wasn't that long ago. Hope I wouldn't forget it. It was only about 2 weeks ago. I was talking with this guy. I often do this when I, for about 3 hours a week, I go to what they call the chicken house. I go down to Pilgrims and I do a little chaplain ministry. It's amazing how God does things. You know, we get to go into the workplace and share Jesus. I said, I get to go in the workplace and share Jesus. While they're killing the chickens, I'm telling them about Jesus. And so, but sometimes I'll be wondering, Lord, do you still want me to do this? You know, I don't really know. I mean, you know, am I in your will? I don't know if you all ever pray like that sometimes. I mean, it's a good thing, but you can't do every good thing. So, Lord, do you want me to be doing this? So that particular day, I said, Lord, I'm going to be kind of like Gideon. Let me see if I have any Bible readers in the house. I'm going to be like Gideon. I'm going to put out the fleece. You know, show me a sign, Lord. I want to put the dew on it. I put the dew off of it. You know, I'm going to put it out twice. And so, Lord, if you want me to still be doing it, let this be a fruitful visit. Because most of the time you go there, I mean, it's a short break. They're eating fast and they just holler at you. We don't get too deep in the conversation. They won't talk about the ball games and all that stuff. So I went in there that particular day and it was a guy, his mother was ill. She was in the hospital, possibly dying. And so I was talking to him and he's like, well, I'm good, man. He said, my mother, she knows Jesus. He said, I'm good, man. My mom, you know, of course I want her to stay here, but I'm good. That's what he was saying. So this other guy sitting over to his left began to talk and kind of jumped. You know how people just jump in your conversation? The flesh was like, man, you ain't even in our conversation, man. But I didn't say that, though, Brother Tommy. I didn't say that. Brother Daniel, I didn't say that. Chris, I wanted to say that. But he jumped in our conversation and started talking. He's like, yeah, it's good with my soul, too. So I said, okay, I just prayed, Lord, show me how you want me to minister. You still want me to do this? So I ease on over to him and we began to talk, he and I, and he told me he knew it was right with his soul. And he basically told me that he was doing a lot of good works. He used to be he used to be locked up. And he said, since I got out of there, man, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do all that stuff. And I was just listening to him. And then I told him, I said, you sound like the rich young ruler who said he got it all together. And then I kind of kept pressing him. And then finally he asked me, how do you know you know, it's right with your soul? How do you know, it's right with you? How do you know you're going to heaven? I was like, y'all asked me, how do I know? How do I know? I said, the Bible tells me so. And I tell you, he set himself up that time. I gave him about a 5 or 6, 7 minute dissertation of what God said from Genesis to Revelation. I said, that's how I know. Jesus died for me in a nutshell. He rose again. He went on into heaven. He said, I'm going to be there with him one day. Now, how do you know? And so my prayer is, y'all be praying with me too. I pray I get to see him again soon. This was only 2 weeks ago. So God just opens up doors. He just opened up doors. My point was, many people that got being one think they're okay, so for spiritual. They think, okay, I don't cuss, you know, I don't drink, I don't do all those stuff. It's a lot more sins than that in the Bible. What about your pride? What about your selfishness? What about your envy? What about your lust? Yeah, you might not be in a sexual sin outwardly, but inside you're doing that stuff all in your mind. So what about all that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those of us who recognize, I need Jesus. Not just for salvation, but also sanctification, daily walking. And then he goes on, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This phrase here, kingdom of heaven, it could be used interchangeably with kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. The book of Matthew was written primarily to a Jewish audience. And so they reverence the name of God so much that they seldom use the name God. So as the Holy Spirit led Matthew to write this gospel, which God knew it was going to be more primarily at first to the Jews, the Holy Spirit had him to put kingdom of heaven rather than kingdom of God. So you'll see those, if you're reading through the gospel, you'll see kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. They basically mean the same thing. So what is this kingdom? That's the bottom line. What is this kingdom? Since I'm poor in spirit, I've given my life to Christ and I'm walking with him every day. I'm striving to live holy. What's my reward? What is this kingdom of heaven? In one aspect, it's the spiritual rule over the hearts of believers right now. So in a sense, since you're in Christ and he's in you, you have a kingdom even right here on planet Earth. When we leave out of here, we're going to serve a king. I said, when we leave out of here, we're going to serve the king. One more time, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. When we leave out of here, we're going to serve the king. Not a king, Brother Charlie, but the king. We're going to do that. We may not be riding motorcycles, but we're going to do that. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's God's spiritual rule over the heart of believers. Secondly though, another aspect is that one day, listen saints, one day Jesus is going to establish a literal earthly kingdom. One day he's going to literally come back on the cloud. I believe that. I know it's going to happen. He's going to literally come back on the cloud, Sister Candace, and he's going to rule this earthly kingdom. And we as followers of Christ are going to get to rule and reign with him forevermore. Isn't that a blessing? So right now, is Jesus ruling over your hearts right now? He's going to rule and reign totally one day, Brother Michael, one day totally. Just this past Friday, I listened to Moody Radio from time to time, FM 88.9, a good station, a lot of good preaching on there. I like some of the singing on there and some of the talk show. I love Chris Brooks that's come on at 1 o'clock. Janet Parshall, that's a little different deal there. She gets a little too political. Talking about the evangelicals. Brother Jeffrey Hardaway and I was talking about that yesterday. This whole phrase, evangelicals, I meant to look it up before I came out here. It basically supposed to mean Christian folks, right? The evangelicals. But yet a lot of that stuff, they rubber stamp. I'm sorry, I can't go along with it. So I'm gonna stop. Don't call me no evangelical. Just call me a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. Just call me that. Just call me that. Some of that stuff they doing, man. But I'm going to leave that alone. That's another sermon for another day. But I was listening to them Friday morning, and two of my favorite preachers, especially Irvin Lutzer, came on, and then David Jeremiah came on at 9 and 9:30. I was on my way to church. And they were both talking about end time things, about how in the end, of course, I read it last week, the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. And in the end, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord forevermore. So watch this. This is a good little teachable point. When the devil wants to bother you about your past, remind him about his future. Romans 16 says soon God is going to crush him under our feet. Revelation 19 and 20 shows us that he's going to be thrown eventually into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night, day and night. So again, when he tried to remind you of your past, and all of us got messed up passes one way or the other, remind him of his future. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who shall approach God? Who shall approach his holy hill? Only those who have clean hands, the scriptures tell us, and a pure heart. Only those who acknowledge that they are poor in spirit. Only those who have a brokenness over sin in their life. Saints, you got to realize that you are spiritually bankrupt. Your hands and my hands are not always clean. Your heart and my heart is not always pure. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Because think about it. Sometimes we go way back. But think about it. Even since you've been a Christian, you've done some things you're not so proud of. Do I have a real church this morning? Even since we've been Christians, we haven't always done what we should have been doing. Since we've been Christians, we've blown it numerous times. Even since we've been walking with Jesus, we've done some stuff, or maybe not done some things we should have been doing. So we need his grace. We need his mercy. We need to admit we are poor in spirit. I need you, Jesus. But when you begin to recognize you're poor in spirit, here it is, then you run to the cross. You run to Jesus. I run to him to be cleansed. I run to him to be pruned, to be cut on, and so should you. You run to Jesus to get instruction. You run to Jesus to get direction. You run to him for wisdom. You run to him for joy and peace. You run to him for whatever you need in life. Run to Jesus. I said, run to Jesus. I know it sounds kind of like a cliche, but it's the truth. Run to Jesus. Whatever you need, he has it. I said, whatever you need, he has it. The Holy Spirit convicts you and me of sin. He shows us our shortcomings. He shows us our spiritual poverty. He shows us once again that we've been writing spiritual hot checks, bouncing all over the place. I remember I used to work when I was in school, in college. I was on the elongated program, Sister Hardaway. I was on the 7-year collegiate plan. Kiki and Marissa, don't y'all get on that plan. Don't get on that plan. I had about 180 hours, Brother Vizo, when I graduated. Kept changing my math. I did. Kept changing my major. I could have had a doctorate degree almost by the time I graduated. I know it. But my last 2 years, I worked at a bank, full-time at a bank in the evenings and with the school during the day. And, you know, that's where I was working at the bank. That's how I helped got my way through college. And working in the computer department. And, you know, we backed up all the files, and that was like in the 80s. So we even had those big reel-to-reel things, Brother Sid, and we were backing up stuff. And I worked down there at night, right, at a bank. And one of my main buddies, Ricky Jasper, he's a good friend of mine. You know, I worked at a bank, right, in the computer department at night. And I would go down there, and he said, man, you ain't working in no bank at no night. You the head janitor down there at the bank. You the head janitor. No bank open at night. He would call me every now and then. He said, I hear him in the background talking about, Gerald, pass me that mop over there, man. I said, no, man, I'm working with computers. But what we would do, though, we would get paid every Friday. And since I'm working in the computer department, I knew the way they posted the checks. They really posted the checks on Thursday night. Sister Ford, by nobody, they posted checks on Thursday night, but we get our check stub Friday morning. So I knew that really the money was going in the account on Thursday night. So even though if my bank account said $10 on Thursday, I knew I really had $210, whatever I getting paid. So I go out that Thursday and spend up some money. But guess what? What if something happened to the system? I was really writing spiritual hot checks, not spiritual, bouncing all over the place. I say that kind of kiddingly, but if you're not careful, as a Christian, we can be presumptuous and think we're one place with the Lord and be really writing some spiritual hot checks. That's why you got to keep running back to Jesus. That's why you got to keep running back to him and say, Lord, I know I kind of messed up. I thought I had a ride, but I bumped my head, so I'm coming back to you, let you cover that check that I wrote yesterday. That wasn't really. You got to keep coming back to the Lord. As I conclude, as a follower of Christ, you got to realize once again that we need Jesus for everything. I'm going to give you a couple of little things to write down that I'm about through. Number one, and I've kind of been saying it, but I want to make you put it in black and white if you're taking notes. You got to realize your spiritual bankruptcy. You got to realize you're spiritually that you are spiritually bankrupt or your spiritual bankruptcy. We read Romans 3 earlier. Romans 3:23 talks about how all have sinned. Somebody say all. All have sinned. All of us, me, you, everybody. All. The only person never sinned was Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then also you got to recognize, after recognizing your spiritual bankruptcy, you got to recognize your need for a Savior. Recognize your need for Jesus. Recognize your need for Jesus. That's just the whole Bible there. I can't just give you one or two verses on that. That's the whole Bible. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is pointing to the cross. Then after recognizing or realizing your spiritual bankruptcy, after recognizing your need for a Savior, you got to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Profess Him, proclaim Him, receive Him, and proclaim Him. Profess Him as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 tells us if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So you got to realize your spiritual bankruptcy. You got to recognize your need for a Savior. And then you got to profess or proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then once you've done that, that's salvation. You got to take up your cross. Jesus said this. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow him. You got to take up your cross and follow him. If you didn't really quite get all that, the ABCs, we often share that when we go out on first Saturday of every month. When I invite you all to come out here at the church at 10 o'clock, the first Saturday of every month, we go out and share the gospel with others. We talk about the ABCs of salvation. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for your sins and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. So those points can take you not only for salvation, but also for sanctification. Matter of fact, if you're an authentic follower of Christ, listen to this, your life will show it. You don't have to convince somebody you're a Christian. You don't have to wear all these t-shirts and caps and bumper stickers and stuff everywhere. WWJD. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but you don't have to wear all that stuff. Just wear Jesus on the inside. He'll come on the outside. Just wear him on the inside, Sister Toya, and he'll come out on the outside. So once you begin to realize you're spiritually bankrupt, you would say, I need Jesus. Matter of fact, your love and my love for Christ should be so great. Jesus said this. He says, it's as if you would hate your father and mother. Now, Jesus is not saying to literally hate your father and mother, because the Bible says honor your parents. But what Jesus is saying, your love and my love for him should be so great that the love we have for our parents or the love we have for our siblings or the love we have for our children would be like hate compared to the love we have for Christ. So Jesus said, if you really follow me, it's like you're going to love me more than anybody or anything else on planet Earth. And I dare say we're all a little bankrupt there. We fall far short of that from time to time. And so upon realizing that I need Jesus, realizing that your life and my life was messed up, Ephesians 2:1-4 talks about how our life was really jacked up. We were sinking deep. We were dead in our trespass and sin, but God, being rich in mercy, saw fit to save us. I heard one person clapping. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Then Ephesians 2:10 talks about how once we do get saved, we got some works to do. We got some works. And I'm kind of paraphrasing these verses. We got some works to do once we do get saved in Ephesians 2:10. Listen to this. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Christ his whole life. It's free, but it's not cheap. So Jesus said, take up that cross and follow me. He says to you and me to hang out with him, fall in love with him, serve him, enjoy him, spend time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So is your love great for the Lord this morning? Is your love so great for him that put it by anybody else's love, it's like hate? Have you realized your condition of spiritual bankruptcy? Have you run to the cross? Do you run to him on a daily basis? I'm not talking about just running to him for salvation, but I'm talking about on a daily basis, do you run to Jesus Christ? Do you sprint to him every day? You know, him, Christ, the one who came down through 40 and two generations. Him, Jesus Christ, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. Him, Jesus Christ, the one who at his birth, out there in the fields, the shepherds were there, and the angels showed and began to sing praises to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the shepherds said, let us go see this thing, which they have made known to them. They came to see the little baby in the tomb, baby in Bethlehem. That Jesus Christ. Not only that, just that Jesus Christ, baby. Listen to this. At 2 years old, wise men came seeking him. And oh, by the way, wise men, wise women still seek him. They came seeking the baby Jesus, bringing gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wise men did. That's at age 2. 12 years, he was at 12 years old. He was in the temple confounding the so-called wise men. Then at the age of 30, I'm talking about running to Jesus and then running to the cross for salvation and sanctification. At the age of 30, I can see John down at the Jordan River. Can't you see John down at the Jordan River? He was down there baptizing people. He looked up. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world." That's an awesome Savior. Then he comes, to paraphrase, he comes up to John the Baptist, his cousin, and Jesus said, "John, you got to baptize me." Jesus and John said, "No, I'm not even worthy to touch your son. I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. I'm not even worthy to do anything." And Jesus said, "Baptize me." And so John baptized him. He went down in the water and brought him back up. And the Bible says, the word of God says, "I, Heavenly Father, said, behold, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So there it is. Then he said, the Holy Spirit came to light on him as a dove. So right there at Jesus' baptism, you got God the Son, Jesus Christ getting baptized. You got God the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." You got God the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. So who are these fools? I don't use that word lightly. Who are these fools? Somebody that the Trinity don't exist. Just because the word is not in the Bible. The triune God is all throughout the Bible. You can't even get past page one without Elohim, the plural God, God the Father. He said, Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image. Who are these fools, these idiots that say the Trinity is not in the Bible? He is our triune God. Father, Son, just because you don't understand it don't mean it doesn't exist. Our God is much bigger than our little brains. The founding pastor, Kevin Smith, used to always talk about how, you know, to kind of see what our brain is compared to our awesome God. Take a little top of a bar like this and go out to the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean and see if you can get all that water in here. You can't do it. Our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same. He is a bad God. He's an awesome and mighty God. Then after Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then Jesus, it's kind of like taking a test. Jesus showed us how to pass the test. He showed us how to make an A every time, brother and sister Michael and Sarah. He told us how to make an A every single time. When the devil tempted him at three different times, every temptation. What did Jesus say? I got some Bible reading. What did Jesus say? It is written. So there it is. When the devil comes against you, just tell him, "It is written." The word of God, Daphne says this. The word of God says this. The word of God says, this is our sword, the sword of the Spirit. It is written. Jesus, it's like we got an open book test. When trials come into your life, it is written. When you start getting stressed out, say, "Oh, wait a minute, I don't have to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I can let my request be made known to God." When the enemies come against you, you say, "Well, no. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus." When you get all stressed out, when fear comes upon you, say, wait a minute. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you think you can't make it to the end, I get so excited, my words run over my tongue. When you think you can't make it to the end, guess what? Wait a minute. I know I'm going to make it to the end. He who has begun a good work in me, he's able to complete it. He's begun a good work in you and in me. He's going to complete it. So when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he went and got 12 little motley guys. Matter of fact, that's what they said in the book of Acts. They said, "Look at those men. They untrained and uneducated." But watch this. This is the clincher. They were untrained and uneducated, but they've been with Jesus. That's the difference. They said, "Look at it. Those guys who are turning the world upside down." Isn't that a shame? It's almost like an indictment against the Christian church today. These guys, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have television, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have social media, none of that stuff. And they turned the world upside down. We got all of these tools God has given us, and we can't even turn East Chattanooga upside down. Something is wrong somewhere. There's a dead cat on the line somewhere. Something ain't right somewhere. So Jesus called them to himself, and then he went out, and Jesus began to heal the sick. He began to allow blind to see. He began to allow the lame to walk and the deaf to talk. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. He even gave his disciples the power and authority to do those things. He even rose people from the dead, Lazarus and Darius' daughter. He did all those things, but that's not really why he came. It's still sick folks in the world. It's still folks going through stuff in the world. Jesus came. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came on a rescue mission. He came really on a suicide mission in a sense. He came to go to Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins. So I stand here this morning saying, I'm spiritually bankrupt. I'm glad I got spiritually bankrupt to realize my need for a Savior. The one who hung on Calvary's cross. He hung on Calvary's cross. Even while on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Even while on the cross, two thieves on each side of him, one thief on each side, they were both hurling insults at him. And somewhere along that time, somewhere along those hours, one of them said, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be up here. And he rebuked the other one. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day. He said, this day. He said, this day. He's a this day type of God. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And then, of course, he hung his head and he died. Oh, but how many of y'all know that's not how the story ends? Don't, that's not how the story ends. Don't believe all that other old foolishness. He hung his head and he died. He died. He died on that Friday. He hung his head and died. But early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Watch this. He went in the grave with all power. He came out with all power. Walked this earth 40 more days. Went on back into heaven. And even right now, he's praying for you. 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 And he's praying for me. And so I might be spiritually bankrupt, but I can run to the bank and make some withdrawals. I can run to the bank and make some withdrawals. So when I'm full of hate, I can go down and get some love. When I'm full of anxiousness, I can go down and get some peace. When I'm messing up, my mind is crazy, I can get some settled thoughts in my mind. When my heart is hard, I can get a soft heart. I can run to the bank and get all that I need. Because my teller and your teller, my banker and your banker, he never writes a hot check. He never runs out of funds. He never runs out of funds. He keeps coming. He's giving, keeps giving, keeps giving. Oh, you ought to praise him this morning, because he is a God who saves us. He is a God who helps us. He leads us along life's narrow way. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. You better recognize you need him. You better recognize you need him, not just for salvation, but even for everyday living. Everyday living. Everyday. Some stuff I thought I had slain, but it pops back up. I told a couple people just this week. You know, God has a way. Pray this prayer. It's a good prayer. So, Lord, just show me. Show me me. Show me some areas I need to grow in. Show me some stuff that's in my life that's not pleasing to you. You know what God showed me just this week? Listen to me well. I haven't said a profane word, a curse word out of my mouth probably in like 25 years. But God showed me this week, I still curse a lot in my mind, in my heart. God said, I see profanity in your life. Work on that. So this week I've been working on cursing less. I said, Lord, why did I say that? Why did I think that? So ask the Lord, prune you or whatever's hindering you. That's just one example. And guess what? Monday, Tuesday wasn't so good, but the latter part of the week, I'm doing a lot better in that area. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise for just being who he is. We write these hot checks. We write these hot checks and he covers our hot checks. If you can stand, please stand this morning. Maybe this morning, maybe you have acknowledged, maybe you have recognized that you have been writing spiritual hot checks. You've been saying you are one thing, maybe you're saying you're a Christian, but you really are not. If you need to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come.